You're listening to something awesome. This is Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got a special treat for you. That's right, it's a mini Nutty Debate, a little bite of a debate, with Paul and Storm. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about why I actually got the chance to have Paul and Storm on the show. They have a new project coming up with Geek and Sundry, and they're going to tell you about it right now. So first, let's say hello. Hello, Paul and Storm.
Hi, Nuke Joss. How are you?
Nuke Joss.
You did good. You did great. You know, considering it's a part Klingon name, the fact that you had a lot of oomph in the back there really helped it out.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw a big in the middle of your name.
That works great.
That'll cover most of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's perfect for Klingons. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about your project coming up on Geek and Sundry? I absolutely loved the trailer that you spent all of your budget on.
Oh, yeah.
That really says everything you need to know about
the show. Yeah, that didn't lay it all out for you.
Let it speak for itself.
It is called Learning Town. It is about a music comedy duo named Paul and Storm, who end up taking over an old school kid show, sort of Mr. Rogers, a little bit of Muppet Show type thing. And they are thoroughly ill-equipped to do it. It is a musical. It's going to have 10 episodes. Each one has a music video in the middle of it, sort of like Flight of the Conchords does. There are puppets. We have some amazing co-stars. And everyone in the world should watch it.
That sounds awesome. Just for puppets alone, it gets two thumbs up for being awesome. And, you know, musical. Who doesn't want that?
That's right. Except for the evil anti-musical agency.
Yeah, they can just go away.
And they've been inactive since the early 70s, so we're not worried about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's become such a thing that every show now, people are asking, well, when are you going to do a musical episode? So it makes sense that Geek and Sundry now has a musical show.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we may be ahead of the curve on that. It seems like there are plenty of web series that are cropping up and some that are really great. But at least, except for Dr. Horrible, which really wasn't a web series, not a lot of musicals out there.
No, there have been some puppets, but not many musicals, no.
Yes. Certainly no puppet musicals.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, awesome plus awesome equals mega awesome.
Right.
You'll notice I use that word a lot, by the way.
Oh, mega awesome?
Well, just awesome. It's the drinking game. So you can get drunk by the end of the show.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome that you use that word a lot.
That's great. See, guys at home, drink when Paul and Storm say awesome, too. That'll
awesome.
Get you extra. Yeah, awesome, awesome.
We think it's awesome when people get awesome.
So one of the things that I was talking about is your trailer for the show, this mega trailer that they spent all their budget on. Yeah, it's a Windows Movie Maker thrown together thing.
There was some MS Paint involved in there somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it cracked me up. One of the things that I do for my day job is I'm a graphic artist and an educational consultant. So I go into schools and I get elementary school kids making projects and movies and so forth having to do with whatever topic they're learning about. So I have seen a dozen movies that look like that. And so I was just rolling in my chair as I was watching that. It cracked me up.
Well, it was put together that way because when they needed the trailer, although we'd secured our head writer, Josh Kagan, and knew generally what it was going to be about, we didn't really have anything.
Pretty much nothing was actually written for the show by the time we had to do a trailer for it.
Nice. That's excellent. So have you recorded everything already, or are you recording and producing as they come out? How is the production?
It's all filmed. The songs, we're working on final mixes on a number of the songs now, but you know they're already editing together episodes and all that. It's an actual thing that is actually happening at this point, which kind of boggles my mind. I'm still waiting for somebody to call and say, ha ha, we were just kidding. Who did you think you were that you could do an actual show or something? But it seems to like it's going to happen, whether we're ready for it or not, January 15th.
That is fantastic. Now, are you afraid that you might have used all your best material for the first season?
Oh, no. We actually, it was a conscious decision on our part. Well, partly, like, we could have incorporated our own existing songs somehow, but it would have been a bit of shoehorning. We actually wrote all new music for the series so that we didn't use up, partly because we saw what happened to Flight of the Conchords. Like, they basically burned themselves. They burned through, 10, 15 years worth of their material in the first season, and then they had to scramble and throw together material for the second season. So we figured we'd avoid the whole doing the easy thing first and go straight to the difficult scramble of their second season and write new stuff.
And I think our process on this was actually the opposite. Like Flight of the Conchords, it sort of seems like they took the songs that they had and built scenarios around it, where we actually wrote the whole season out and then said, okay, we want a song that's going to do this and one that's going to do that, which is actually it's a really easy way to write. Even though we had a ton of songs to do, it was clear what they needed to do. And we just had our mission and boom, there you go.
Well, I think story-wise, it's going to work out a lot better in using that process because I am a big musical fan. I love to go to Broadway shows. I grew up watching musicals on VHS and so forth. Mm-hmm. I definitely am a stronger fan of the musicals that are written as a story and then you put the songs in, rather than there's the new style of musical where they take the pre-existing songs and make a story.
The jukebox musicals, yeah.
Yeah, the Green Day one, the Mamma Mia one, of that. Although Mamma Mia on Broadway was pretty clever movie. it's not really something that can be replicated as well as creating an original musical, in my opinion.
We can guarantee you there is 0% ABBA content in Learning Town.
Woohoo! So.
Maybe if we get a season two, then maybe we'll go all ABBA all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It'll seem to work for Mamma Mia.
Excellent. Now, how much of your influence for your puppets are Henson influenced? I mean, there's got to be a strong push there for anybody dealing with puppets, right?
Well, we grew up, Storm and I both grew up, as did our head writer, Josh Kagan, watching Sesame Street and the Muppet Show. So there's no way that influence can't be in there. I mean, it's ingrained into our DNA at this point, because who doesn't love the Muppets? That said,
no one.
The show is... The show, it's not like the show spends its entire time focusing on the puppets. I mean, their personalities definitely come through and they're there throughout the show, but it's not like it's, it's not like a thing where the puppets are actual, they're real characters that exist without actual puppeteers and they tell a story, that kind of thing. They're characters within the show that is within the show. But the whole overall show itself is a lot more about the Paul and Storm characters and the other characters involved in the making of the show. All of that being said, there is certainly a very Muppet Show like sensibility to the overall tone of Learning Town, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's one of our favorite things. I mean, I know it informed my sense of humor as much as just about anything else when I was growing up. Henson in general and the Muppet Show in particular.
Absolutely.
And the Muppet style puppets are, at least to my mind, the most expressive type, it seems like, certainly for conveying that type of humor. So, there are certainly a lot of other types we could have styled them after, but it just seems like we would get the best results from the puppets as they were.
Yeah.
I think that Henson really changed the way that people look at puppets, whereas before they were just essentially dolls that would be used on a stage and they didn't have facial expressions, they didn't mm-hmm. have emotions, they were just stand-ins, they were essentially paper dolls. Henson definitely changed the way that people look at Muppets. We expect to see emotion from the puppets now.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am a huge fan. I mean, I have all of the DVDs that have been released. I grew up watching
Muppets from Space.
I do. I even have Muppets from Space, which is not as bad as it sounds.
It's not. I know.
I do not have Muppets Treasure Island, though.
Then you don't have every
DVD. I have every DVD of the Muppet Show, and I have most of the movies.
Well, even along with the puppets, one of those biggest innovations was, yes, the puppets themselves, but also with how he put them on film.
Oh, yeah.
And developing techniques where the puppets would come across, I don't know if realistically is the way, but expressively.
Mm-hmm.
And our director, Sean Becker, he did a really wonderful job in general in capturing the look, but with the puppets too, in really using those techniques of showing people puppets in new ways.
And one of the things that I love is that Jim Henson has adult humor and humor that kids can get, and the adult humor can kind of go over the kid's head, but there's pretty much something there for everyone. And since, as I've read, Learning Town is not really safe for kids, I'm going to think that you've taken quite a bit of that adult humor to heart.
Yeah, kind of unofficially, the show is Learning Town, parentheses, not for kids.
Yeah.
We took a lot of the swears out, in part because we found that we didn't need them, but also in part because even though it's not for kids and it's not geared towards kids and we're not marketing it towards kids, of course, kids are going to find it.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, it's probably what you would find on television after 10 o'clock or so, that sort of PG-13 level of humor.
Absolutely.
So a few grades above where the Muppets are.
Yeah. If it were on Canadian television, it would be shown on Showcase. And my Canadian listeners might understand that. absolutely. And as the first episode of The Muppet Show, and I believe the original series title was called Sex and Violence.
Yeah.
So that was not originally meant for kids, but like you said, kids stayed up and watched it anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, that's special. And of course, he used to go on the whole talk show circuit.
Yes.
And you see the old clips, and it's a little shocking. Not that it's, you know, nudity and literally sex and violence. Well, yeah, kind of was.
Yeah. I think it's one of my favorites is Jim Henson and Kermit on What's My Line.
Yes.
That was a great, great show. So before we move on to the mini debate, is there anything more that you want to tell our listeners about the new show other than to watch it and that you're having a lot of fun working with Geek & Sundry? Because how can you not be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. You should watch it. We've got various surprise guest stars showing up here and there that you can look forward to. We're very, very excited about it. And want approximately 3 million people a day to watch it. So if you could make that happen for us, that would be great.
All right, yeah. You got it. All right, everyone within the terrestrial listening audience, make sure that you listen. And the extraterrestrial, you've got to get your numbers up there too, because we want to reach those outer space markets.
Fantastic. We love the outer space pipples.
Yeah,
because nobody has been marketing kids shows to outer space. So
you know they really haven't, and it's a completely untapped market.
Yeah.
And really, that's just a whole demographic being ignored. And we could really use some of those Quatloos in this economy.
Yeah. I'm sad because the host of my favorite television show died. You're sad because we're stone cold broke. Well, fortune has smiled upon both of us.
I'm from the network. And I have a business proposition.
Did he actually look like Slugworth from Willy Wonka?
Probably. He said that we can host Learning Town for the rest of the season, and they will pay us with money. We gotta do this.
Absolutely no.
This season on Learning Town!
Take a walk on the last travel.
Shane, I've done it.
Again, Paul, then open the window. There's no need to announce it.
No, not that. I've invented a machine that can erase our memory of Red Dwarf so you can watch it for the first time. Again.
Really? Is it safe?
Completely. Although you might also forget how to read, write, and do math.
I'm a politician. I don't need any of that.
Also, it would probably make your head explode.
And ruin my hair? No. Let's just find a lovely American couple who has barely even heard of Red Dwarf to watch the show with us. That would be the next best thing to seeing it for the first time.
Hi, I'm Angela. This is my husband, Heath.
What are you doing in my house?
Well, we're just your everyday American couple wandering about looking for someone who feels like watching a show we've barely even heard of with us.
Maybe recording a podcast about it.
That's really convenient.
And you can listen in on the fun with the Red Dwarf Intro Cast.
Check us out on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
It's time for Nutty Debate.
Quick debate. We only have about 5 minutes left to talk. I'm going to ask each of you, who is your favorite fictitious musical group or band?
Storm, you go first.
Okay. I'm assuming we can only pick one, right?
You can pick one. If you have a backup, go right ahead. I'm pretty easy with the rules.
Okay. I'm leading with Wild Stallions.
Oh.
And because not only were the Bill and Ted movies an awful lot of fun, they had a philosophy. They literally changed the world.
They bring about world peace.
Exactly. And how can you top that? Go ahead, top it.
That's pretty hard to top.
Well, I am not going to debate the relative merits of a world run by a Bill and Ted philosophy or not. If you want to drink that Kool-Aid, that's fine with me.
Happy
but
place.
My sights are a little more modest. My favorite fictitious band is Josie and the Pussycats.
That was my backup.
Nice, nice.
The reason they are is because, first of all, they're a catchy rock and roll band from the 70s. They are all about empowerment. It's an all-female band.
Yeah.
They do catchy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got they're about diversity. There is an African-American member of the band. They solve crime, and they have been to outer space. You can keep your peace on Earth. They actually took it intergalactic.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, but at the end of Bogus Journey, you'll see that they, in fact, did reach the stars. That said, Melody of Josie and the Pussycats may have been my first crush ever. So there is a very, very dear spot in my heart for Josie and the Pussycats.
World peace, fine. Time traveling, fine. But let us not forget that Josie and the Pussycats had long tails and ears for hats.
It's true. It's hard to argue with the cats.
I rest my case.
It's funny you should mention that because the two that I've brought to the table are the Archies, simply because they are the only fictitious band to have a number one hit song.
This is true.
Yeah.
Sugar, Sugar. And that is darn catchy. Although, Josie and the Pussycats, I actually like those characters better. And the honorable mention, which is going to go as one of the worst fictitious bands ever, I'm going to say are Smeg and the Heads, which was Dave Lister's band from Red Dwarf.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, sure.
Their top song,
Mm-hmm.
It's just them singing over and over again. It's awesome.
Huh. Well, you know the Archies came to life because the producers of the Monkees got tired of the Monkees nixing their ideas for pop songs.
There you go.
Another band into the mix here.
The more you know. I'm glad that nobody brought up the Partridge Family.
No.
Or the Brady Bunch Band or any of those, which is excellent. I was going to bring up this band, Me Troll, which I thought was from the Shadowrun universe, and it turns out that no, in fact, it was just my game master being really, really clever. And it's an all-troll band, which is awesome.
Cy Snoodles, that band from the Cantina band from Star Wars,
That gets a definite honorable mention. But I think it's going to be a head-to-head between Wild Stallions and Josie and the Pussycats. Now, if we could get them to do a joint project.
Oh, man.
I would follow that band over a cliff.
Okay, let me take it in an entirely different direction. If they could do a joint project and the song that they cover was The Bear and the Maiden Fair from the Game of Thrones books.
I would die happy.
The world would explode.
The world would
on the charts for a decade.
Wow. Yeah. And with that, how can we say anything better? You've been listening to Paul and Storm on Nutty Bites. Thank you so much for letting me interview you, and I can't wait to see your series.
Thank you. So can we.
Yeah. Seriously.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
bright and bright faster. You're not going to get any younger, you know. Winter is coming, I'm growing impatient, and you've still got two whole damn books left to go. So write, George, write like the wind. Epic fantasy. He asked me if I thought the writer should feel like he's required to finish up the series. And this is what I said. George R. R. Martin is not your
expletive deleted.
No matter how much you cry.
Expletive deleted.
Might as well go get in line.
Fuzzy nerfer.
Big record button. Has this been a bit harrowing today? Interview after interview. Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, and you are the fourth one we are doing today, so I might not feel that way in another hour, but at least right now, yeah, we're doing great.
Excellent. So I got in at a good time, not the first, so that you've had a little bit of practice, and not the last, so you're not tired.
I would say you have hit the sweet spot, yes.
You know, I'm real good at that.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So my podcast is called Nutty Bites, and it's pretty much a geek culture podcast. A lot of times what we do is we debate nerdy and geeky topics, like who's the most ineffectual sci-fi character ever. You know, what are the best geeky gadgets, best lame superpowers, things like that. Yep. So I figured I'd just interview you guys a little bit and let you talk about your new project with Geek and Sundry.
Sure.
And then I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time so that you can think about it while you're talking about your project, of who is your favorite fictitious musical band or group?
Oh, wow. That's great. Writing this down. Yeah, I already know my answer out. Of course, I won't tell you yet, but...
Excellent.
Well, no, it's tough. It is hard.
It is.
There's so many that are great.
Yes. We lost...
Hopefully. Did we ever have him?
I don't... It said we did.
Okay, I know he had stepped away.
Oh, okay. Well, I will wait. I didn't want to grab you guys too soon, but I also didn't want to lose any time.
No, that's fine. And Paul's a quick guy. He'll be right up to speed.
Excellent. Great.
Yeah. So, sorry, just looking over notes here.
No problem.
Yeah, it's like can't say anything yet. Don't want to let the magic out of the bottle.
Yeah. Sometimes the best stuff happens before the actual show.
Yeah, exactly.
A good friend of our show, and we're constantly supporting him, is John Anilio. And
oh, yeah.
The last time I actually saw him in person was last May, and that was before he did Nerdtacular with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was pretty excited about that, and I got to see the video. Seems like you guys had a great time there.
We did. It was so great to meet him. Like we'd known about him. It's that thing where there's this big society of funny music nerdy people that we've met or are aware of each other online. So it's always really fun to meet in person.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a riot in person. I think.
Oh yeah,
I had a lot of fun with him.
And as it turns out, like he. We have both sides of the coin of the George R. R. Martin.
Yes, you do. You do. It's a lot of fun. There's the Write Like the Wind and George R. R. Martin is not your
potato
song, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So that was really neat. And it just worked out that those two songs ended up getting played pretty close to back-to-back. So it was like a little dialogue happening right there at Nerdtacular.
That's excellent. That is so cool. My other podcast is actually a Game of Thrones podcast.
Oh, cool. Yeah. We're going to have a good time.
So, yeah, there's all sorts of clicking going on here.
Yeah. And Paul, at least in theory, is back and right, in front
I'll
of his computer.
I can add him. Hang on. All right, let me get him in there. Add him to the call. Why is it not working? Let's hope that Skype didn't change something again. They do that sometimes.
Yeah, not quite as bad as Facebook, but still annoying.
Yes. Yeah, it's not letting me do it. All right, I'm going to hang up and just give a quick call back.
Sure.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello. Hi.
All right.
There we go.
We're all here.
Yay. So, as I was telling Storm, my name is Nukchas. You can call me Nutty because it's easier to say.
Okay.
Oh, can we also call you Nukchas?
You can call me Nukchas. Go right ahead. I just like to make it easy for people.
That is a lot of consonants in a row.
It is. It's very difficult.
Thing is, we both have last names that are a little difficult. So, you know, we make the extra effort sometimes.
That's great, then. my podcast is called Nutty Bites. I told Storm also that we generally debate things, geeky topics, like most ineffectual sci-fi character ever, lame superpowers, things like that.
Right.
So after I do a quick interview of you two and let you talk about your project coming up on Geek and Sundry, I'm going to ask you who your favorite fictitious musical group or band are.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to do a quick intro.
On the Dexter cast, we do a rewatch of the Showtime series Dexter. There are four hosts. Two of us, Bob and Rachel, have seen Dexter before. The other two, Thina and Janice, are watching for the first time. This format is called an intro cast. So join us on the Dexter cast as we follow the adventures of America's favorite serial killer, Dexter Morgan.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
Nimlas forever.